Good afternoon, and thank you for joining the Standard Bank Group pre-close call this afternoon. My name is Sarah Rivett-Carnac, and I'll be managing the call this afternoon. As you will be aware, we issued a voluntary trading update on SENS this morning. The purpose of this call is to cover the highlights of that announcement, and then we'll open for Q&A. On the call today, we have Arno Daehnke, the Standard Bank Group Finance Director, Brooks Mparutsa, Barbara Bell, and Thembelihle Ngema, the client segment CFOs. I will now hand over to Arno. Thank you, Arno. Over to you.
Thank you, Sarah, and good afternoon, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. Starting with the macro environment, and particularly how things have evolved since we released our results in August. Since reporting in August 2022, sustained elevated inflation globally has prompted further monetary tightening. Between August 2022 and October 2022, interest rates increased in all our markets of operation, except Angola and Zambia. In Angola, interest rates declined by 50 basis points since September 2022. And in Zambia, interest rates were flat. In addition, Ghana has experienced some sovereign stress. The Ghanaian cedi has declined by over 50% relative to the South African rand year to date, and inflation has spiked. In South Africa, inflation ticked up over the course of the first 6 months. It is broadly considered to have peaked in July at 7.8%. Inflation has moderated slightly to 7.6% in October. And Standard Bank Research expects inflation to average 6.9% for 2022. The South African Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee decided at its November meeting to increase the repo rate by 75 basis points to 7%. This is the third consecutive 75 basis point increase. This takes the cumulative year-to-date increases to 325 basis points. It was interesting to note that the members voting changed from 3-2 for 75 basis points and 100 basis points in September to 3-2 for 75 basis points and 50 basis points in November. While the governor highlighted ongoing inflationary risks to the downside, we expect interest rate increases to be limited from here on. At this stage, Standard Bank Research expects a further 25 basis points in January 2023. From a currency perspective, on average, over the 10-month period, the South African rand has been weaker relative to the group's basket of currencies. This has favorably impacted the group's reported earnings growth year to date. Turning to our performance and trends for the 10 months to the end of October this year, starting with revenue. In the 10 months to 31st of October 2022, relative to the 10 months to 31st October 2021, robust average balance sheet growth combined with positive endowment tailwinds from higher average interest rates, resulted in strong double-digit net interest income growth period on period. All three client segments recorded growth in average loans advances year on year. Non-interest revenue growth remained robust, supported by growth in transactional activity, trading revenue, and insurance earnings. Transactional fee growth benefited from fee increases combined with a larger client base. Trading revenue growth was still double-digit, but slowed relative to the 21% increase in the first half of the year. I remind you that the second half of 2021 was a record performance, setting a high base. Insurance earnings growth was underpinned by higher fees, mainly due to annual fee increases, continued good funeral policy performance, and lower credit life claims compared to the prior period, Moving to costs. Cost growth was higher than expected, driven by higher inflation and higher levels of activity, particularly in Africa regions. Despite upward pressure, cost growth was contained to below the group's weighted average rate of inflation, and the group continued to record strong positive jaws. With regards to credit, group credit impairment charges increased period on period, influenced by the low base in the second half of last year. The consumer and high net worth portfolio continued to benefit from better collections and the ongoing normalization of previous payment holiday portfolios. This was partially offset by the increased impairment charges from new business strain, as well as pockets of customer strain. The business and commercial client segment credit impairment charges were broadly flat. Credit charges in South Africa declined as provisions raised on the COVID guarantee lending in the prior year did not repeat. Charges in Africa regions increased period on period, driven by new book growth and lower write-off recoveries in the current year. Corporate and investment banking credit charges continued to normalize, with additional provisions raised due to portfolio growth, internal rating downgrades, and client-specific provisions. The group remains well provided and can weather an uptick in delinquencies. Turning to Liberty. Pleasingly, Liberty's earnings continued to recover as the pandemic impact waned, and Liberty remains well capitalized. The Liberty integration is going well, and we remain confident we will deliver the 600 million rand revenue synergies, as well as the capital synergies previously outlined. We are taking actions to reduce Liberty's solvency capital requirement cover ratio to within its new target range. For reference, the new target range was revised down in August this year from 1.5 to 2 times to 1.3 to 1.7 times. On ICBC Standard Bank PLC, this entity continued to report a positive operational performance for the 10 months of 2022. The improved performance in Liberty, combined with the insurance settlement received by ICBCS in January 2022, boosted group earnings growth to above that recorded at a Standard Bank activities level. Year to date, the group's return on equity remained above the group's cost of equity and improved relative to the ROE of 15.3% reported in the first half of this year. As noted in our Pillar 3 report released last Friday, the group's Common Equity Tier 1 ratio as of 30th of September 2022 remained robust at 13.2%. Turning to our guidance for 2022, we expect 2022 total income growth and cost growth to be higher than guided in August 2022. This is largely due to faster than expected increases in interest rates, higher inflation rates. We expect continued positive jaws for the year. The group's credit loss ratio is expected to remain in the lower half of the group's through the cycle target range of 70 to 100 basis points. And we will provide guidance for 2023 when we report in March next year. Lastly, while there are some clouds on the horizon in terms of slowing growth, the group continues to benefit from strong momentum across all its businesses and geographies. and we remain confident that we are on track to deliver against the targets we committed to at our strategy update in August 2021. More specifically, these targets include, over the four-year period to 2025, a revenue CAGR of 7%-9% over the four-year period, a cost-to-income ratio approaching 50% by 2025, and a return on equity in our target range of 17%-20%. Thank you, Sarah. Back to you.
We'll now move to questions. Chris, can I hand over to you to manage the questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one on your touchtone phone or on the keypad on your screen. You will hear a confirmation tone that you have joined the queue. If you decide to withdraw the question, please press star and then two to remove yourself from the list. Our first question is from James Starke of RMB Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Arno, Sarah, and team. Two questions from me, please. Just, if we're looking to dividends in year-end, I mean, how are you thinking about the payout ratio? I mean, has it changed since you last updated the market? What prospect do you think there is of elevated capital return? The second question just relates to costs and your cost guidance. I just note you haven't really emphasized the 4%-5% CAGR cost guidance to 2025. Can you just give us some sense on how you're thinking about longer-term cost evolution at this point? And I mean, is that previous guidance still valid from a cost perspective? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, James, and good to hear from you. On dividends, so we have a payout range, which we've guided to the market, of between 45% and 60% payout range. For the second half of this year, the dividend will be at the upper end of that payout range, towards the upper end of the payout range. On cost guidance, yeah, look, historically, we've managed our costs below inflation, and we remain confident we can do that. When we gave that 4%-5% range, I think we certainly did not expect inflation to run at such high levels. For your information, the weighted average inflation for the group, weighted by cost base, is currently 14%. And our cost growth is currently tracking below that, comfortably below that, but clearly it's much higher than 4% to 5%. So we're missing that target for this year. In the longer term, as inflation rates may normalize, you know, we might sort of track back to mid to higher single-digit cost growth. But below inflation is an important parameter to think about here.
Thank you.
The next question is from Ross Krige of Investec. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks, everyone. A couple questions from me. Just on the OpEx line, just to get an understanding split between South Africa and Africa regions, if you could maybe just elaborate on that. And again, I guess to the earlier question on your longer term forecasts, do you think, I mean, do you think this is a prolonged period of elevated inflation? And it sounds like you're still confident that you can reduce that, certainly below what you expect top line to grow at on a view to 2025. Just maybe any comment on that. And then on asset quality, in the consumer high net worth segment, you talked about pockets of consumer strength. So hoping you could just elaborate a bit on that, what product segments you're seeing that, and maybe just talk about the differences between the secured and unsecured portfolio. And sorry, finally, just on Liberty, if you could just elaborate on how much the improved claims experience has impacted that performance, and maybe just give a bit of data around underlying performance on new business and volumes and margins. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Ross. I'll take three of the questions and hand over to Lihle for the consumer credit question. Lihle, if you can take that just now. On OpEx, okay, so cost growth in South Africa is much lower than in Africa regions, obviously on the back of inflation being much lower, and not far off our previous targets we had of mid-single-digit cost growth in South Africa. So the higher cost growth for the group is really coming from Africa regions, where we are facing higher inflationary pressures. But But in both instances, our cost growth is below inflation, both in South Africa as well in Africa regions. That's the trend. In the longer term, you know, we've just finished our planning cycle for next year, and obviously we're giving guidance on that now, but we are seeing a reversal of inflation rates, and our cost growth next year should be lower than what we've seen in 2022. But 2023, certainly some recovery in inflation dropping off, and that filtering into better cost management and cost growth. On Liberty, a continued pressure under margins is evident. So that's something we're obviously very focused on. There's various interventions in place to continue to drive value of new business, as well as manage the costs and ensure positive jaws in Liberty and improve our margins on that. And, you know, we have confidence that these various initiatives, technology-wise, product-wise, sales force-wise, including optimizing the sales teams between the bank actually and the Liberty tied and independent sales agents, will drive higher value of new business, improved margins, improved ROE. And I mean, that all forms part of the business case. And I mentioned a point earlier on that we do see 600 million rand per annum synergies at year three of integration to be achievable. And just on all of those synergies and the business case realization coming together, we plan to give a more comprehensive update when we release our results in March next year. Yeah, I think I've covered OPEX, AR versus SA. Longer term, I've covered that. And Liberty, I think hopefully that answers your questions there. Lihle, if you want to deal with credit charges in consumer, over to you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Arno. Maybe a couple of points from a consumer high net worth perspective. So what we've evidenced in the last couple of months has really been some clients short paying. So we're actually seeing just increased millers. So some clients, you know, remaining in certain states. We also, I think what we've really been tracking quite closely, we've also seen debt review, clients going into debt review also increase. But from a portfolio perspective, I think maybe the strain that we've noted has been mostly within the VAF portfolio. We do see that portfolio quite sensitive to the interest rate hikes. We have implemented quite a lot of mitigation across the various portfolios, whether it's, you know, execution of easy sell within the home loans portfolio, debt sales. So overall, at a portfolio level, we're still comfortable to be within the through the cycle range at a portfolio level. I hope that, yeah, so I hope that helps from an overall perspective. Thanks, Arno.
Thank you, Luke.
Okay. Thanks, Arno. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you very much. Then our next question is from Lundi Webutulezi of FN24. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. I hope that you can hear me better now.
Yes.
And
yes,
I'm afraid I'm going to have to take you back to the question of pockets of consumer strain. I just rejoined now as you were addressing it, and I just missed out on the response to that. But I wondered if you can give us just a little bit more color on which consumer segment and how bad the strain is, and if in terms of figures, how much delinquencies you've seen so far. And then the second question has to do with the updates on the activation of my more accounts. I thought that we were going to get a bit of updates on the investigation out of this call, how far Standard Bank is with that, and how many people has been suspended now, because the last time we spoke to Sim, he said, although the suspensions gave us numbers, but there were many more people that were still being investigated. Just an update there.
Yeah, thanks, Londiwa. I'll do the MIMO quickly, and then I'll hand over again to Lihle. Lihle, you can just update us again, please, on the consumer point. So on MIMO, obviously, you know, we take this matter very seriously. In fact, we've just come through a board cycle where we discussed this in detail. We found a very thorough investigation on this, independently outside investigation. And people have been found having conducted themselves in an inappropriate manner, and action is being taken against those people. This investigation is now nearing conclusion, and it hasn't been quite concluded yet. So I'd like to just pause on that point And then we'll update the markets through the appropriate channels once that's been completely concluded on that. And then I can give you, we can formally release the final numbers and everything like that. So we'd prefer to do it like that. Also internally, we've done a conduct culture review. We continue to assess all sales type incentives, sales type activity and what's driving that activity. And we haven't found any significant issues in outside in investigation, not our own, that's outside in. But we have found some areas where we can make improvements to make really sure this never happens again. So Lindy, if I can just ask you to leave it at that, and then we'll update the market in the near term once we've had all of the work completely done, and then you can have a comprehensive view on this. That's okay.
Okay, thank you.
Is that okay? Great, yeah. Lihle, if I can just take you back to the consumer credit question and maybe just repeat it and add some color.
Yeah, happy. So Lindy, maybe let me start here just to add a little bit more to what I shared earlier. I think the first thing is just in terms of how we've lent throughout the cycle, we really have not lent in terms of our risk appetite, we haven't really lent into low income. So I think that's the one piece. Our coverage, in the cycle has been much higher. So we've had, you know, we are currently running a coverage of over 5% you would have seen, in June versus pre-2019, we're running at like 4%. So that's the one piece. So where we are seeing some pressure in the portfolio right now is really you do get some clients and it really is a pocket. So we haven't seen like a complete blowout, but consumers are under pressure and therefore you do get pockets where consumers are short paying. So we're finding just millers, clients milling in one state. Where we are able to, we do restructure some of those accounts. But I think the other one that is an indicator for us of clients being under pressure is debt review. So we have seen the debt review portfolio grow from where we were last year. And then the portfolio that's worth mentioning is where we have seen pressure, and we do see that portfolio being quite sensitive to the interest rate increases has been within the VAF portfolio. So VAF, we have seen pressure in that portfolio in particular relative to where we were in the prior year. But overall, at a consumer high net worth level, we are pretty much flat to last year from an overall impairments perspective, and we're quite comfortably within our through the cycle range.
Thank you, Lisha.
Thank you. The next question is from Chris Stewart of 91. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Anna. Thank you very much for making the time available this afternoon. Just one quick question from my side, if I may. Can you just give a comment on the ability to expatriate capital out of many of your African subsidiaries? I guess, therefore, given that, you know, in the absence of the ability to do that, a lot of the heavy lifting on the group dividend has to come from SBSA, where capital levels are slightly less significantly above where you'd like them to be than the balance of the group. You know, if there were to be long-term issues with regard to expatriation of profits from some of the African subsidiaries, do you foresee that at any stage in the future sort of impacting your guidance as to where you'd like the dividend payout ratio to end up, please?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Actually, we find increasing amount of capital by means of dividends being able to extract out of Africa regions. And we continue to actually attract a sizable portion of the group's dividend coming from Africa regions. Obviously, SPSA makes up the shortfall and other companies also add into that. There are two entities currently, Chris, which are constrained, only two, and that's Nigeria, and you know about that, and Ghana. Okay. On Nigeria, we updated you in August on that. There are constraints, FX constraints, and we continue to work with authorities to extract that capital. We managed to extract a little bit of capital there, or have a little bit of that dividend being paid to us, declared but not yet paid dividend. And currently, as we speak, we are working with the central bank on extracting the rest of it. So that's on Nigeria. Obviously, also conscious that the elections are imminent there, and we do hope that some of the market constraints, which the current governor has put in place, will be reducing going forward. But I hope to come back in March with better news that some of the capital has been extracted there. on Ghana, that's obviously quite a unique situation there. We all know the Ghanaian sovereign is under quite a bit of stress. And there is some capital locked up there, which we previously hasn't had any constraints in terms of dividend payments, but that is currently, as the Ghanaian entity goes through, or the Ghanaian sovereign goes through some of the restructuring initiated by the IMF, obviously. We expect some short-term constraints there. And Chris, on all other entities, including entities like Angola, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, some of the more difficult entities, we've been able to pay dividends as they fall due, and that cash lands in our bank accounts and is available to paying out to our shareholders. Going forward, I see us remaining comfortable within the 45 to 60% payout range. Would like to stay at the top end, towards the top end of the payout range. And at this stage, I don't see any point or any reason to alert our investors and shareholders that we will not be able to do that.
Thanks, Arno. Are you at liberty to disclose the rate at which you are able to expatriate capital from Nigeria?
The small portion we've managed to extract was at the official exchange rate, which is still at the 400 to 450 top level, lira to the dollar.
Okay. Okay, super. Great. Thank you, Anna, very much. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. The next question is from Charles Russell of SBG Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Anna and Sarah. Thanks very much for the time. Just two questions, please. On the Africa regions, you've commented that there is a currency tailwind because of the weaker rand. Can you comment on the underlying operational performance of the portfolio at either 10 months or 9 months? And then in this 10-month update, you didn't include any guidance on where overall earnings lands up. You did at the 9-month update. I think it's I remember correctly, it was 42% on earnings, 38% on headline earnings. Has there been much of a change in that trend since the 9-month update? Thank you.
Okay. I mean, on Africa regions, the tailwind is obviously due to the relatively weaker rand compared to Africa regions currency, so there's translation benefits. If we look at the constant currency numbers I have in front of me here, it's still a very strong performance from Africa regions. And it's strong across South and Central Africa, particularly East Africa, particularly also in West Africa. So across all of our markets, all of our entities remain profitable on a constant currency basis. So that's the one point. Charles, sorry. I should have written it down. Your second question was on?
It was just on the guidance at an overall earnings level.
Yeah, I think the earnings momentum stays intact. Obviously, we can't guide earnings closely at this point in time. But overall momentum remains intact, and we're pleased how the group is developing. So, continue good momentum, but we did have a very strong last 2/3 months last year. So we must understand the base effect coming there. But the trends we've shown at the September numbers, and we've updated them now, continue to point out to a strong performance this year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Harry Berta of Anchor Stockbrokers. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for the call. Just a quick question from you regarding the trends you've seen in net interest margins for the second half of the year compared to the first half. I think how are asset pricing and liability pricing trends developing in the second half compared to the headwinds you saw in H1?
Yeah, great. Actually, if it's in order, Harry, I will ask the business unit heads to talk about specific asset pricing. Overall, at a group, obviously, we're seeing margins widening, but that's endowment, which is obviously helping us. On the asset side, let's start with Lichle first on consumer, then Barbara for business and commercial, and then Brooks on CIB. So Lichle, over to you. Asset pricing, please.
Thanks, Arno. I think the portfolio where we have seen quite a bit of pressure from a competitive pricing perspective has been within the home loans portfolio, particularly as all the players are back in the market. So that definitely we've seen pressure. However, still better than where we were in the prior month. in the first 6 months. Thanks, Arno.
Barbara?
Thanks, Arno. Very similar to Lihle, we continue to benefit from the endowment environment. Again, in BCC, we are, you know, largely deposit-based, so that naturally translates into our overall margins, so continued upward trend on margins. From a lending perspective, a little bit of compression relative to June, but continuing to trend upwards from a year-on-year perspective. Thanks.
Brooks?
Thanks, Anna. Thanks, Harry. In terms of net interest margins for CIB, I think in light with the same as the other BUs, we continue to see that improve over the first half of the year. And we are seeing some respite in particularly investment banking prices as we have grown our sort of book in the second half of the year. So net interest margins are improving over the first half of the year for the first 10 months of the year. Thanks.
Thanks. Harry, anything else?
No, that's great. Thanks very much, everyone.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Kevin Harding of Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the time today. Just a couple of questions on asset quality within CIB and BCC. Within CIB, just to get a sense of what the main driver behind the normalization of the impairment charges are. You did call out specifically ratings downgrades and specific provisioning. So, you know, on balance, has it been the new business strain or growth in the book that's driving the high impairment charge, or do you have the ratings downgrades and specific provisions also had an outsized effect on that credit loss ratio? Within CIB, which sector saw the highest level of ratings downgrades? And I guess what are the drivers underpinning those ratings downgrades? And then on BCC, just to get a sense of, with respect to those impairment charges rising in Africa regions, is it, you know, weakening credit health or new business strain? Thank you.
Brooks and Bobs, over to you, starting with CIB.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. If I just reflect back to the first half of the year, I think the first half of the year particularly related to one SA name in the SA consumer sector that was driving the impairment charge. If we look into the second half of the year, I think it really relates to some of our exposures in Ghana. As Anna has mentioned, there have been some strain in terms of some of our exposure in the Ghana market. We've done some rapid risk reviews, and we continue to do so in Ghana for the exposures that we have there. So we have increased our, some of the provisioning there. And then the second element, Kevin, really relates to we've seen some growth. So we are starting to see us raising stage one and stage two provisioning as the loans and advances grow. I think the muted growth, particularly in investment banking in the first half, meant that we didn't see a lot of that in the first half of the year. But into the second half of the year, we are starting to see some of that growth come through in stage one and stage two provisioning. In terms of sectors, there are no particular sectors that we are particularly concerned about. I think really relates to some of the exposure that we have in Ghana, where as the country re-rates, and has a downward re-rating, we actually held more provisionings, rather less sector specific, but more specific to the geography. That's all from me.
Thanks, Arno. Can I jump in?
Please.
Thanks, Kevin. From a BCC perspective, there's probably three kind of key drivers, I would say. So the first one is Nigeria. We are seeing a normalization of our impairments from a Nigeria perspective. You'll recall that last year we had quite significant post-write-off recoveries in that environment. So really what we're seeing there is normalization of that credit charge. From a Ghana perspective, I guess a little bit similar to some of what you're seeing in CIB, but also just a number of legacy accounts that we're preparing, you know, we're sort of trending towards write-off stage in line with regulatory requirements. So there's some top-up of provisioning that we're seeing in that space, so driving the Ghana performance up. So really West region being one of the predominant drivers around some of the impairment normalization and increase that we're seeing year on year. And then just in terms of the macroeconomic environment, we have raised some additional provisioning centrally in response to some of the macroeconomic concerns that we have across the portfolio, so a little bit forward-looking in its nature, given some of the dynamics. Those are the broad themes that we're seeing, none of it really being new business strain. In Ghana, we actually pulled back a little bit on risk appetite for longer-term and big-ticket-type exposures, really sort of sticking to shorter-term and lower-valued transactions, given the economic environment and the interest rate environment. Hope that helps. Thanks.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from Keamogetse Konopi of Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, Arno. Hi, team. Thank you very much for your time. Just a question on asset quality. Can you please give a sense on a follow-up to Kevin's question? Can you please give a sense on whether there has been a divergence in asset quality sort of in other regions, your eastern, southern, south and central sort of African regions relative to West Africa? And also just given the higher cost growth within Africa regions, are you still expecting positive jaws sort of to year end? Thanks. In the region, in Africa regions.
Yeah. Yeah, we're expecting strong positive jaws in Africa regions, notwithstanding the much higher cost. Strong positive jaws in Africa regions. On the asset quality, again, maybe it's best to talk to the business units on any specific divergence between the different regions. Lihle, maybe you want to start first. Do you see any specific divergence in the different regions?
No, there isn't. Yeah, there isn't one that really sticks out. Maybe just, I mean, the market for us, we're, you know, in the East that we have seen, you know, a pickup more than what we saw, what we expected was from a Kenya perspective. But other than that, I think a lot of the portfolios have been in line with some of the book growth that we've had in that market. And overall, the portfolio still makes sense. So there isn't a particular region to call out. Thanks, Arno.
Okay. Thanks, Tifa. Barbara?
Thanks.
Anything you want to emphasize? Yeah.
No, and nothing specific. You know, there is sort of general upwards trends, and similar, I guess, to Lihle, there's some elevation in Kenya, but it's not outside of our expectations, and largely offset by some of the positives we've seen in the rest of the region. So it's really in our space, it's been really more in the West region that we've seen that elevation as we've seen normalization impact. Thanks.
And Brooks, anything you'd like to highlight? And you mentioned Ghana already, so that's one of them.
Yeah, nothing else other than Ghana, Anna. I think the only other name is a single legacy name in East Africa, but no divergence, yeah, per se, which was the question.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Okay, so I don't think there's strong regional trends here, but rather sort of localized specific obligors.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our last question is from Baron Nkomo of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi guys. Just two quick questions on Liberty. Number one, how do your life APE sales compare to the prior period? And then secondly, on your pandemic reserve, you had a balance of 846 million in H1. How much of that has been utilized so far? And do you intend release whatever is left into P&L anytime soon?
Ah, okay. Great. On your first question, we see the trends similar to what we saw early on this year. On the pandemic reserve, we are seeing continued higher mortality rates in the people over 60 years of age. We do think those are lingering and longer-term COVID-type impacts. And we are gradually using some of the pandemic provision to reset some of the persistency and mortality curves on the back of that. We still have excess COVID provisions which allow us to continue to allow us to manage those excess deaths over the 60-year category. I think in August we said the provision for COVID amounted to approximately 800 million rand. We've utilized roughly half of that year to date. So there's roughly around 400 million rand left over. We are probably not going to release that to P&L, but rather ensure we are appropriately provided for, specifically any lingering longer term COVID type of mortality impacts and providing for those.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Bukolu Ubugo of Bank of America Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Sana Bank, and thank you very much for the update. Just two quick questions from me. The first one is, if you could just give some color on your customer gains or client numbers, especially in light of, obviously, the MIMO incident. That's the first. The second question would be if you could give some a sense as to whether the benefits you're seeing, at least for the second half, on higher interest rates is being offset or more than offset by the higher inflationary environment. Thank you.
Okay. The customer numbers I'm going to refer to Lichle because I assume you're interested mostly in the consumer space where they matter. On the second question, no, the net endowment benefit certainly exceeding the marginal uptick we're seeing in credit impairment charges. So net-net, the group at this point in time is benefiting out of the higher interest rates. You would say, how does it also impact the higher costs? Again, net-net, the endowment exceeds the additional pressure we are seeing through the cost line. So driving this very strong NII, which I referred to. Be clear on customer numbers. You just want to summarize active number of customers year to date?
Yeah, thanks. So we continue to see growth in terms of our client numbers. Year to date, I mean, from a year-on-year perspective, we're sitting at a growth of mid-single digits from a growth perspective. But the mix is quite interesting. So we're actually seeing, you know, faster growth from an affluent perspective. So private banking in particular, we've seen that improve quite a bit from last year, as well as we continue to see the growth from a youth perspective. But certainly it has moderated from the highs that we saw in the prior year. Thanks.
Thank you. Then the next question is from Simon Nillis of Citibank. Please go ahead.
Oh, thanks very much for the opportunity. Just a quick one from me on risk-weighted asset growth. I think from the Pillar 3, it was up 7% quarter on quarter, so nice acceleration. Can you just unpack that? Is it mostly due to credit growth? It seems so. And do you think this momentum will be continued in the coming quarters? Thank you.
Yeah, actually, we're seeing a continued momentum on that sort of basis. So mid to high single digit loans and advances growth, driving our risk-weighted asset growth. We're seeing a strong pipeline in CIB in particular. And maybe Brooks can give some details if you need those. But we also see continued good growth in the consumer and in the business and commercial segments. So across the portfolio, good growth, but I guess CIB is slightly stronger than some of the other portfolios. But long, medium term and short term, certainly mid to high single RWA growth is what we're seeing coming through.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Simon.
Thank you very much. Sarah, we have no further questions in the queue.
Who's joined the call this afternoon? Arno, would you like to make any closing comments before we close?
Yeah, just to thank everyone for dialing in and obviously looking forward to meeting all of you in March. We're going to be releasing our numbers. And we're looking forward then to talking about a strong year, which we've had this year. So hopefully good momentum behind the business and evidence that to you. So thanks very much for that. I wish all of you obviously a good festive season and hopefully you can take a break. And then we'll see you soon after that.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that then concludes today's conference, and you may now disconnect.